Hi, welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. If you're thinking about building or currently building a .NET application running in a microservices environment or inside of containers, you might be wondering how you can quickly find and fix issues that happen in this new environment. So I'm here to show you how you can use some of the new features that we've just released today for Application Insights so that you can get that same intelligent, app-centric point of view with these new .NET microservices and containers. And again, my name is Dan Taylor, and I'm a Senior Program Manager on the Visual Studio team. So first, I'm going to talk about the overall approach to monitoring and diagnostics that you can think about as you're building these containerized applications and microservices. And I'm going to show you two examples, one with a Service Fabric application, and a second one with a Docker application running in Kubernetes in Azure Container Service. So first, let's talk about the overall approach to monitoring and diagnostics with microservices and containers. So what are the challenges with microservices? So the key problem is that one logical request in a microservice can span multiple services, each one logging to different places. And so this makes the application very complex. You can see in this example here, I show that one customer-facing request can call A, B, C, and D services, and then D might throw an error, which will return an overall error back to the customer. And so it's really important to have an understanding of the service as a whole when running in this environment. And there's also a fan-out problem. Even though your services may be successful 95% of the time, even if each one of your services only fails 5% of the time, if one customer-facing request calls 10 different services, if you sort of do the math here, this can end up with a 60% reliability to your customer-facing request. And the other challenge is the use of non-HTTP-based communication protocols like queues or named pipes or other messaging systems, because in non-HTTP communication protocols, we don't have those standard semantics of request-response that most of our tools typically rely on to give you good insight into your production application. So how do we tackle this? Well, so on the left-hand side, I've got my three services, each with multiple instances. And what we do is we log all of those services to the same Application Insights resource, but we include information about the cluster that they're running in. And I'll talk about how you get that information with some of our new SDKs in a moment. And we can also log information from the host, like CPU, memory, or other metrics, as well as system logs to that same Application Insights resource. And then we can take that all that information and give you one app-centric and intelligent view about your application so you can quickly spot which layers are healthy and where you might want to look at to diagnose issues. And we also provide this very correlated view across your services so you can trace back to application failures. So how do you get this awesome new stuff? Well, today we've announced the release of our new Application Insights SDKs. So you can simply install the 2.4 SDK for .NET Full Framework applications or the 2.1 SDK for ASP.NET Core applications. And then you add the NuGet package that's specific to the cluster you're running on. So today we've also released the application-insights.servicefabric NuGet package and the application-insights.kubernetes NuGet package that you can use, and that'll add that cluster-specific or orchestrator-specific information. And then to get this nice app-centric view, you can go to the new previews feature of Application Insights and then enable the multi-role application map preview, which will allow you to see that all-up view. And if you're using non-HTTP communication protocols, you need to add some instrumentation into your application that define operations. Now, in an ASP.NET world or an HTTP world, an operation is an ASP.NET request. So it's got a duration, and it's got a timestamp, and it can succeed or fail. So what you can do is you can add instrumentation into your application to define those same semantics, even when you're dealing with things coming off queues or other situations. So think about the situation where I'm taking work off of a queue. When I put the work onto a queue, that's kind of like making a call to a second service. And then when that second service takes work off of a queue, it can say, hey, I'm doing work. I'm going to process a loan, or I'm going to process this image. And you can say how long that operation took and whether it succeeded or failed. And then it's also important to pass a correlation ID from a client to a server. So for example, if you're using Service Bus or Event Hubs, you can pass that correlation ID through headers that are available in those technologies. But in other places like Azure Storage Queues or Service Fabric Service Remoting, you may have to pass the correlation ID as part of the function call itself in the case of service remoting, or in the Azure queue, you would pass it in the queue payload. Now, it's important to remember that these are only required when you're using non-HTTP-based communication, because with the latest SDKs, we automatically include all of this information when you're using HTTP server-to-server calls. Okay, great. So let's dive right into a Service Fabric application, and I'll give you a tour of how this works. So here I've got the Service Fabric One app. So let's go to the home page here. This is the One app, and this is basically Hello World for Service Fabric. Now, if you're not familiar with Service Fabric, it's a full application programming model that you can use to build microservice applications that are highly scalable, think hyperscale, fault-tolerant, and reliable. And there's a number of different service types. So this application includes the popular ones. So first, this page we're on is hosting this web service. And it also lets me go to a stateless backend service or a stateful backend service. And I can also use an actor pattern, or I can just run a guest executable here. So if I click through these, it allows me to just basically play around with the elements of each of these service types. So as I'm clicking get count here, it's returning a count from a stateless backend service. So this is a cross-server call from my web service to my backend. And you'll notice that each time I click the get count button, sometimes this request fails with this 404 here. But most of the time, it succeeds. And I can also look at my stateful service and my actor service here. But focusing in on this stateless backend service, let's go take a look at this application in Application Insights. Oops, just got to reload the portal here. All right, so Application Insights is loading up here. So this is going to show us the overview here in a minute. All right, now that I'm on the overview, I'm going to click right into the application map. So as a developer, I like to look at this application map because it's how I think about my application or how I would draw it on a whiteboard with boxes and arrows. So at the top is that Service Fabric web service, if I hover over the tooltip there. And then I can see these arrows showing me all the different services that it calls. So if I click on this, I actually get a breakdown of the sort of web service and its calls to the stateful backend service, or this stateless backend service and the other ones here. I also, on the right-hand side, I get a list of all the errors bucketized by the top offenders here, and I can click in and get more information. So let's go ahead and look at that stateless backend service, and we can see this invalid operation exception. So that was the error that we were seeing, and someone has thrown an exception and said, not happy with this particular number. Okay, so let's take a look at the properties that are logged on this exception. So when I click on that, I can see all of the information that was added by that Service Fabric NuGet package. So if I scroll down here, I can see the Service Fabric specific properties, like the application type name here, which is the getting started application type. I can see the service type name, which is the stateless backend service. And something really cool here that I'll point out, it also has this operation ID. So this operation ID is a unique identifier that I can use that traces the entire operation end to end from the web service to the backend. So I can use this information to actually look up all of the events that are associated with that particular call. So let me just copy that. I'm going to go into the Application Insights search. So if I paste that operation ID in, it's going to show us a bunch of events related to that one particular operation. So bam, there it is. So this actually hits the analytics backend and makes a query on that operation ID. Now, something really cool to point out is that this is showing me both the front end and the back end, so I can see that from this get async call to the front end service, I see this trace that says, hey, I'm in the web service layer, that's that top box, about to call the back end. I can see the call to the back end from the front end, and then in the back end, I see the incoming request, a trace that says, hey, I'm now in the back end service getting the count. And then I can see the exception thrown in the back end where it says, I'm not happy with this number. And then another exception is then thrown in the front end saying one or more errors has occurred. So this is powered by the Application Insights Analytics Engine. And what's really cool is that this thing is highly scalable. So I could have terabytes and terabytes of data in this analytics backend. And this query here would be able to pull that needle out of the haystack for just this one operation, and it would tell me exactly what happened and very fast. So OK, that's a quick tour of the Application Insights experience. Now let's go look at the one app we have here in Visual Studio. So I can see all those services that I have in Visual Studio, as well as the various controllers. So if I look at this stateless backend service here, I'll look at the controller in the web service layer. And here's where I'm making that call to the backend. So one thing I'll point out is that this Service Fabric, this one application, we're actually published this to GitHub as an example of how you can instrument your application with Application Insights. And this is an example of non-HTTP-based communication. We're making a service remoting call. So we've written this helper class called activities.serviceRemotingDependencyAsync call that basically handles the passing of the correlation ID and filling out common properties that you would use to make this look like a request. And this will be available for you to use in your own Service Fabric applications if you check us out on our GitHub page. So here I'm getting the current ID and I'm passing it to the backend. And this is where I'm making that getCountAsync call. And then on the backend, let's take a look at this backend service here. When I get that call on the backend, it says, hey, I'm in the backend service getting the count. And then, oh, looks like if the number is divisible by 5, I'm not happy with this number, and I throw an exception. And so on the other end here, you'll notice that I take the correlation ID context here, and then I use that, and I reset it in the backend so that anything inside of this method here gets logged as this getCountAsync operation. And because I'm using this helper method that we've provided, simply because I throw this exception is correlated with the activity that happened on the front end, and I get that nice end-to-end view. Okay. That was a quick tour of a Service Fabric application. Now let's take a look at what this looks like with a Docker application running on Kubernetes in Azure ACS. I'm going to go back to my web browser here, and I'm going to look at my Kubernetes dashboard. Now, this Kubernetes dashboard is showing me a cluster that's running an Azure Container Service, and I'm going to look at my pods here. I'm going to pick this pod here that my teammate Sara set up for me. And you'll notice that this runs two containers. It's got a web API and a web backend. Now, before I go further, I want to point out something that I think is just super cool. I'm actually running this browser here from my Bash shell in Windows. And I can see here I can run the Azure ACS list. And that's talking, and it shows me that these are my Kubernetes cluster here. And then I can run the kubectl proxy service that allows me to view my Kubernetes cluster. So here I'm working with Linux. Clusters using Linux on Windows, and that's just something cool that I wanted to share with you because I like it. So okay, let's take a look at what this app does. It's a very simple application here, and all it does is it's a .NET Core application running in Linux that just prints out various information about the Kubernetes cluster that it's running on, and then it goes and makes some calls to visualstudio.com and bing.com. So, let's go ahead and look at what this looks like with Application Insights. Oh, got to reload that again. So I'm going to go into I've got my Kubernetes cluster here, and I'm going to go into my Application Insights resource, where I've got the front end and the back end both sending their information. I'm going to click on the application map, and what we're going to see is that same application map we saw with Service Fabric loaded up here. Okay, so there I can see that web front end and that web API back end, and I see some failures here. You'll also notice I've got my HTML client reporting data to this Application Insights resource, so I can see the flow of information from the front end to the back end, and also I can see the outgoing HTTP calls here to bing.com, microsoft.com, and those other places. Okay, so let's take a look at that exception on the back end. Okay, so this one looks like we're throwing an exception every 1 out of 10 times so that we can show this to you in this cool demo. But let's take a look again at those properties. So if I look at the properties here, I've got the various information from the Kubernetes orchestrator, basically anything that I would need to uniquely identify the node that this is running on in the cluster. So I've got the pod name, the replica set ID, the container ID, the deployment ID, and then also, just like we saw before, I've also got that operation ID. So this is that same correlation ID that will help me trace this request from front end to back end. Let's go here into the search, paste that in, and we'll get that same cross-server tracing from front-end to back-end. So let's do a replay here of what happened. So a request came in. This made a call out to the back-end. It traced some information. There's the incoming request into the back-end, and we can see the various dependency calls that were happening and that exception that was thrown. That was the 1 in 10 chance of happening. Okay, let's flip over to Visual Studio and look what this looks like in Visual Studio. So here, with this application, I've got my web app and my backend. I can come in and I can go to Application Insights Configure. So all I've done is configured this with Application Insights, as I would normally do, and it sends to that Kubernetes microservice, so both the front end and back end are sending to that same Kubernetes microservice resource. And let's go ahead and take a look at some of the packages that we have installed here. So if I look at the NuGet packages, you'll see that I've got that Microsoft.ApplicationInsights.Kubernetes package installed. Currently on my demo box, I have a pre-release version, but you can try out the public release today. And if I go into my startup.cs, you'll see that all I had to do is add the services.enable Kubernetes call here, and that's what gave me that information about the Kubernetes orchestrator that helped it split out those nodes onto the map for me. Okay, so that was a very quick tour of some of the new capabilities that we've added to Application Insights that makes it easier for you to do microservices development and really get a good monitoring and diagnostics experience. If you want to learn more, go to these links on the screen here for Service Fabric. Go to akka.ms/AI Service Fabric, and that'll take you to our GitHub repo and other information about our current Service Fabric experience. And for more information about Kubernetes, go to akka.ms/AI Kubernetes. All right, that was a quick tour. Thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoy monitoring and doing diagnostics with .NET.